This is BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Brandon Isle.
And I'm Brianna Willis. And this is Tell Me About It. Coming up in the next half hour, we talk to the Idaho House Minority Leader about issues he's concerned about, including keeping skilled Idahoans in state.
And one of the areas that we know provides value and that we need to continue to step up are apprenticeship programs.
We'll also talk about the ad, the words legislation introduced today.
Plus, what's your ideal body mass index? Find out what students at BYU-Idaho think is their ideal and how it stacks up to reality.
And the Ashton Dog Derby race is ready for its 102nd year.
It's not just a dog sled race, but it's kind of a Dog Days of Winter festival.
What other activities they'll have for the race days.
These stories and more coming up in Tell Me About It. But first, the news.
For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Virginia Henry. The Idaho Attorney General announced investigators with the This Idaho Internet Crimes Against Children, or ICAC unit, arrested a Kuna man Thursday. 77-year-old Stanley S. Sanders is charged with sexual exploitation of a child and booked into the Ada County Jail. ICAC investigators had previously executed a search warrant and seized electronic devices. An arrest warrant was issued after forensic investigators completed an examination of the devices. The Ada County Prosecutor's Office and the Ada County Sheriff's Office both assisted the ICAC. Anyone with information regarding the exploitation of children is encouraged to contact local police. The Attorney General's ICAC unit at 208-334-4527. Or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-843-5678. Police have arrested a third person in connection with a gang-related shooting at a Utah mall that wounded two people and sent hundreds of panicked shoppers running. Jail records show 20-year-old Flaviano Aguilar was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of riot and obstruction of justice. Police say he was part of a group of gang members who crossed paths with rivals at Fashion Place Mall, south of Salt Lake, on Sunday. They say the fight went outside where one person on each side pulled a gun. The group scattered after someone on each side was wounded. No bystanders were hurt. He also is accused of sending money to help someone avoid police. Two 19-year-old men have been arrested on suspicion of attempted aggravated murder. Today, an Idaho legislator introduced legislation to protect lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people from employment and housing discrimination in Idaho. Democratic Senator Marianne Jordan of Boise introduced the legislation. The bill would add the words gender identity and sexual orientation to the Idaho Human Rights Act. The law bans discrimination based on race, sex, color, religion, and national origin in housing, employment, and public accommodations. She told us why this bill is so important to her.
Well, you know, it's important because all other folks in Idaho enjoy protections under the law. People who, different races, different religions, ages, have legal protections against unfair discrimination. And these are the two groups in our communities who have not yet to receive these protections under Idaho law. And so I think it's important that everyone is treated fairly and equally.
Previous efforts to add the words have been blocked for more than a decade because the state's Republican-controlled legislature is concerned the change would infringe on religious freedoms. Roughly 200 demonstrators on Wednesday gathered inside the state house to get Idaho lawmakers to pass legislation adding the words. With the class of 2018, Idaho's statewide graduation rate topped 80% for the first time. Across Idaho, 80.65% of high school students graduated within 4 years, up from just under 80% for the last 2 years. 2018's graduating class was larger than 2017's by 370 students. About 43% of the state's high schools, 90 out of 210, met that mark in 2018. 18 schools achieved 100% graduation rates for 2018, including West Jefferson School District. School districts are reassuring parents that safety is the main priority after several buses experienced slide-offs Thursday morning. East Idaho News reports because of slick roads, snow, and frozen rain, bus drivers were told to be extra cautious on their way to pick up kids. The district sent messages to parents beforehand, letting them know that roads were icy and buses would be late to pick up children. Jefferson District 251 Transportation Director Clyde Southwick told East Idaho News, "They hope all drivers use extreme caution when the roads are slick." The community is invited to weigh in on the future of one of the Gate City's most prominent parks. The meeting will be held on Tuesday, January 29th from 6 to 7 p.m. in the Pocatello City Council Chambers. Mayor Brian Blad and the staff of the Parks and Recreation Department will present the Ross Park Draft Master Plan. The plan visually shows different improvements and features that could be added to the park. John Banks, the Parks and Recreation Director, said the plan includes possible changes that include the zoo and Ross Park. The town hall meeting will feature 30 minutes for attendees to look at display boards featuring parts of the plan, followed by 30 minutes for a question and answer session. If you are unable to attend the meeting, comments will also be accepted via email at rossparkplan@pocatello.us. For more information on the City of Pocatello Parks and Recreation Department, visit pocatello.us/PR. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Virginia Henry.
Thanks, Virginia. This is Tell Me About It. I'm Brianna Willis.
And I'm Brandon Isle. We have a chance of snow tonight and snow or rain likely through the holiday weekend in eastern Idaho and western Wyoming. Lows are in the 20s to lower 30s through Sunday. Then we get colder Monday night. Highs will be in the 30s.
Right now it's 34 degrees in Rexburg, 32 in Idaho Falls, 36 in Pocatello, and 30 in Jackson.
The Idaho Falls Community Garden Association has begun its 2019 organic gardening classes. These are free and open to the public. They happen at University Place, CHE Building, Room 211. They happen Saturdays from 10 a.m. to noon. The first class is Healthy Soils 1, Soil is Not Dirt. For more information about the classes, go online to ifcga.org.
Coming up, Ashton's American Dog Derby races are coming in just a few weeks.
It's not just a dog sled race, but it's kind of a Dog Days of Winter festival.
What else you can expect at the races?
And your weight is a big deal to your health, but what's your ideal BMI? A recent study reveals what BYU Idaho students think about their weight and height. This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi everyone, I'm Craig Orndorff on the next Seems Like Old Times. Get out your map. We're going to go across the USA. State songs are our theme this week. Songs that are about or mention one of the U.S. states. And for the countdown this week, we're going back to the third weekend of January in 1955. So come on by and listen to the memories on the next Seems Like Old Times.
Be inspired tonight at 9 on BYU Idaho Radio.
You're listening to Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Brandon Isle. Thanks for joining us.
And I'm Brianna Willis. Psychologists at BYU Idaho sought to find out the perceived ideal BMI of college students in a recently published study. Student reporter Jessica Morgenthaler has the story.
Every year, the number one New Year's goal is to lose weight and be healthier. Why? Usually it's because they want to improve their appearance. On the other hand, we see the human population heading into an obese epidemic. Rob Wright, the Director of Health Psychology for BYU Idaho, led a study to better understand this paradox in a psychological perspective. The research article is published in the Journal of Human Health Research.
This study, I would hope, helps people see that our social norms, that is, what we perceive to be the norm, what we perceive to be beautiful even, does affect the obesity epidemic. It does affect our desires to go on diets, to restrict our food intake, to exercise excessively, perhaps. And I think the worst part about this, Jessica, is when people do these and they fail.
Mm-hmm.
And then they throw up their hands and they say, all is lost. It doesn't matter. That's what the concern is, in my opinion. What this study suggests is that we see our ideal and we try to shoot for it. And when we fail, I did say when, because most of us do, then we think all is lost and we just backslide and we don't go back to where we were, we go back to, or we go further.
This conclusion came by studying students in a Psych 111 class over 5 semesters. They were asked in a survey about their body mass index, or BMI, percentages, and about their diets. The survey first asked what they thought their current BMI was and what they wish it was. Then they computed the student's actual BMI percentage. This number is calculated by factoring in height and weight. In further conclusions, they found the majority of students, almost all, wanted a smaller BMI. For women, most wanted a decrease in weight, and for men, they wanted an increase in height. While weight loss is obtainable and realistic, why is it notable that men desire to be taller?
That's what it kind of feels like to me, where the men are like, I'm okay with the way I am, but if you're asking me what I would like to have happen, I'd like to be a few inches taller, where I feel like with the women, especially with that connection with body image, it's more like, I don't like the way I look and I want it to change. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's a big thing that we need to maybe be aware of and work on, just to have better body image and, you know, feel better about the way that we look.
This is Jennifer Lindsay Perks, who is a visiting faculty member in the psychology department, who also assisted in the study and helped with conclusions. She also told me these desires to look a certain way come from this Barbie doll image we see in the media, movies, and ads, some very unrealistic, which leads to that sense of failure and critical self-imagery.
Treat your body right, and in a lot of ways, things are just going to work out where you're going to feel better about yourself. And when you start feeling better about yourself, you treat it better, and it's this nice, positive, upward spiral. Mm-hmm. We often talk about the downward spiral with depression, right? But I think there's an upward spiral here where you feel good, and that leads you to do good things, and those good things lead you to feel good and even better about yourself. And I think that, Jessica, is the key. Small and simple steps will bring to pass some great things here in terms of our health and how we view ourselves.
Wright hopes we can all keep these perceptions and expectations in context. Be happy, be healthy, and don't get too overwhelmed with your New Year's resolutions. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Jessica Morgenthaler.
The library at BYU Idaho is holding a special night to help students understand how they can get help at the library for their specific major. Student reporter J.D. Packer has the story.
Libraries are not just for storing books. The David O. McKay Library at BYU Idaho has multiple resources for its students and faculty. Major Nights is one of the resources. Tyler Oswald, the library's circulation manager, explains why this is so valuable.
So Major Night is an opportunity for students to come together with other students in their major, with faculty from their major, and with librarians here at the library that can connect them with valuable resources to help them really succeed and up their game within those major classes.
Major Nights happens every semester. They are scheduled, organized, and managed by library student employees for the benefit of the students on campus. The librarians are specifically trained to go through a sea of information to find what's best for each major.
We come to the library and we see the books, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. The university pays for subscriptions to databases that contain hundreds of thousands of items beyond what we're able to house physically here in the library. And beyond that, we provide free pizza.
The first Major Night this semester will be held at the library on January 30th. Lori Francis, the library director, will host the first night to help students learn how to write a resume and support their job search. For more information, go online to byui.edu and search for the library. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm J.D. Packer.
The American Dog Derby races are returning to Ashton for another year of fun.
The races started more than 100 years ago. They begin and end on Main Street in Ashton, depending on snow conditions. Races include a 100-mile 2-day race, a 45-mile 10-dog minimum race, a 45-mile 8-to-10-dog race, a 25-mile 4-to-6-dog race, a 25-mile novice youth race, a junior 7.5-mile race, and a ski-joring race.
Chet Kendall, a committee member with the American Dog Derby, told me what skijoring really is.
That's where you put your skis on and your dogs on, and you let your dogs pull you down the trail on your skis rather than on a sled. You basically have a harness that wraps around your hips so you can keep balance most of the time, and away you go. And it's a skijoring race, which is a lot of fun.
There's also a soup challenge where for $2 you can sample all of the soups and vote on your favorite. That happens Friday, February 15th. Kendall says this is a favorite.
You know, it's the cheapest meal you can get. You sample really great soups, cost $2 to get in on Friday night.
A children's snowshoe race happens the following day. For more information about the events, go to AmericanDogDerby.com.
Apparel entrepreneurship students at BYU-Idaho are part of a program that includes apparel, art, and business classes. Student reporter Emma Hassel tells us more about the success these students are creating.
Just like many industries today, technology has changed the world of apparel design. Jeanette Orm is one of two full-time apparel design professors on campus. She's been teaching here for 4 years and helped build the apparel design major. Orm has worked to bring in modern and updated equipment and computer programs for students to use. This helps prepare students to enter the career field.
We're lucky on this campus. We can't have a specific fashion design school like there is in LA and New York City. Because of the way this campus works with interdisciplinary degrees, we've been able to, like I say, kind of cherry pick all over campus to get what we need to fill out the major.
Apparel design students at BYU-Idaho are also part business students, and they're working with more technology than ever. The apparel entrepreneurship major is part of the Department of Home and Family, but students in the program are required to take accounting classes, art classes, and business classes, along with family and consumer science, and, of course, apparel design classes. Since Orm came to campus, the university has partnered with local apparel companies such as Climb and Rigby.
It was a conversation that already started and kept it moving and started to talk to some of the industries. So the first place I went to talk was Climb down in Rigby and said, how come we don't have an internship with you? You're right basically in our backyard. And they said, because you're not prepared enough to work at the level we're working right now. And I said, what do we need to get prepared to do that? And she put a paper across the table and said, when your students can do this, you come back and talk to me.
Orm has worked to partner the university with local apparel businesses and brought the program up to speed so students would be ready to enter the field as interns or to be hired for full-time positions. Students who are in and have graduated from apparel design have been employees in internships and careers at successful businesses. Some students have even started their own businesses.
We have a lot of students that say, I would like to stay home and be a mom and create my own business from home. And we say then, if you're going to do that, you need to know how to run a business, or you probably won't make it.
We have more information about the apparel design major at BYU-Idaho on our website, byuidahoradio.org. For BYU-Idaho Radio, I'm Emma Hassel.
Our weekend looks like it will be pretty wet. We have a chance of snow starting tonight, and we can expect snow or rain through Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Highs will be in the 30s with lows in the 20s.
If you're traveling this weekend, Boise will have rain through Sunday with highs in the upper 40s to lower 50s. Salt Lake City will be mostly cloudy through Sunday with a chance of snow starting Sunday night and into Monday. Highs will be in the upper 30s to lower 40s.
Right now it's 32 degrees in Rexburg and in Idaho Falls, 35 in Pocatello, and 30 in Jackson.
The 12th annual Sportsmen Against Hunger event is Saturday, January 26th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Cow Ranch store inside the Pine Ridge Mall in Chubbuck. The fundraiser includes games and a chance to win prizes. Game cards are $10 for one try and $20 for three. All proceeds go to the Idaho Food Bank. For more information, go to idahofoodbank.org and click on Events.
Coming up on Tell Me About It, Rexburg has a few new restaurants you could try out this weekend. What sets them apart? Just ahead.
Plus, we talk to Idaho House Minority Leader Matt Erpelding about this week in the state legislature. He says a big concern is creating opportunities to keep young Idahoans in the state.
And one of the areas that we know provides value and that we need to continue to step up are apprenticeship programs.
This is Tell Me About It on BYU-Idaho Radio. We'll be right back.
On the next Chicago Symphony Orchestra program, Music of Ravel, Jean-Yves Thibaudet is the soloist in the Concerto for the Left Hand, and Matthias Pincher conducts the orchestra and the Chicago Symphony Chorus in the complete ballet, Daphnis and Chloe. Next time with the CSO, I'm Lisa Simeone.
Be inspired Wednesday night at 8 on BYU-Idaho Radio.
College life is crazy. The classes, the crushes, the Rexburg bubble. When it all drives you nuts, we've got you covered. Listen to the people crazy enough to talk about what's on your mind. Catch The Spot, a BYU-Idaho radio podcast with new episodes every Thursday. Find us at BYUIdahoRadio.org. For BYU-Idaho Radio, I'm Virginia Henry, and you're listening to Tell Me About It. This week, I talked with the Idaho House Minority Leader, Matt Erpelding, from Boise, about what has been happening during this week's legislative session.
You know, the floor itself has been relatively slow because we're still early in the session, but there have been a number of reports that have come out this week that I think are going to have a tremendous impact on what we need to do moving forward. The first was that a report came out from the Department of Labor and the Workforce Development Council that Idaho dropped 3 spots in average annual income, so we're now 44th in the nation, which is pretty much as low. I mean, you can't get much lower than that. And then the other thing that the Department of Labor has said is that young Idahoans continue to leave the state and are being replaced basically by older, out-of-state residents, many of whom are at retirement age. And so what that does is that creates a bit of a workforce problem in the future, especially if our talent is leaving the state.
Right, of course. So right now, then you guys are trying to figure out what you should do to address those issues?
Yes, there's a lot of folks that are trying to address these issues. There are a lot of departments that are trying to address these issues. And, of course, the preponderance of folks are coalescing around the idea of a continuum of education. And one of the areas that we know provides value and that we need to continue to step up are apprenticeship programs that would address some of the jobs that are in the science, technology, engineering, and math part of the workforce. Last week, the STEM Action Center reported that over 6,000 STEM jobs went unfilled in Idaho last year, which resulted in $412 million in unclaimed wages. So it's really critical that we figure out ways to get apprenticeship programs in place in a way that helps advocate for and advance people into the workforce at a well-paying job. Eastern Idaho is unique because they have a number of apprenticeship programs that are not government-funded and that are self-sustaining. The IBEW, which is the electrical workers, they've got an apprenticeship program down in Pocatello, which has been doing great things, turning out electrical workers and electrical journeymen. And even in Idaho Falls, you have the carpenters have a apprenticeship program turning out carpenters, basically folks for the construction trades.
And so in the foreseeable future, any solutions that you guys see to instigating these apprenticeship programs, or is that still really in the brainstorm phase?
Well, a couple things have happened in the last 2 years that will continue to put Eastern Idaho in a position to continue to advance. One is we already know that there are 2 great 4-year institutions there, whether it's Idaho, BYU, and then Idaho State University. But also you've got the new college in Idaho Falls that's moved to a more technical focus for education and is adding feeder students into the other universities. And then you have the unions that are offering these apprenticeship programs at no cost to taxpayers. And those journeymen that graduate from a union apprenticeship program make a great living wage. And in addition to making a great living wage, many of these journeymen have access to a pension plan for when they retire. And so not only are you building out workers for today, but you're planning for a secure future so that we don't have, you know, retirement instabilities moving forward.
I heard that you guys had or will have Union Day this week. Has that happened or is that coming up?
Union Day is today, Thursday, and there will be opportunities to meet with different members of the unions. But the one that I thought was most interesting, I haven't been down to it yet, but last year they had virtual reality training for painting. And so these are folks that do like high-level painting on steel beams under bridges and overpasses. And so they had this virtual reality machine down there that was like mind-blowing. The technologies that are coming forward to educate people who are entering the workforce right now are just incredible. The fact that they can do it all in a place of virtual reality, they can measure the success, and then they can actually go and apply those skills is pretty impressive.
So is there anything that's coming up either tomorrow or this next week that you're anticipating or looking forward to?
You know, next week is when we're really going to start getting into introducing legislation. And next week on Thursday, I have a tentative introductory hearing for the first responder bill that we've been working on here. And the first responder bill is designed to benefit EMTs, firefighters, police, members of the police force, and then dispatchers. Those folks, they do so much for us as a population. They do so much to keep us safe. And they see things that you and I only would see in our nightmares. And what we're doing is we are running legislation this year. It's bipartisan. We've got support from both the Senate and the House, but we're running legislation to provide workman's compensation insurance for those folks who suffer from any type of a post-traumatic stress injury or disorder. You know, it's a difficult thing to talk about. And so what we're trying to do is help make them more healthy so that they can help keep us safe.
That was an interview with Idaho House Minority Leader Matt Erpelding. Later tonight, we'll hear from freshman Republican Representative Britt Raybould from Rexburg, who's just returned from Boise. Thanks for listening to Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Virginia Henry.
We put all our interviews with state politicians on our podcast feed. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Just subscribe to BYU Idaho Radio. We'll have this interview and Representative Britt Raybould and Senator Marianne Jordan up tonight.
New restaurants have joined the Rexburg community recently. Student reporter Jessica Morgenthaler tells us about what these other places have to offer.
When you think of the canned food Spam, most would consider this food storage or your food supply for your first year of college. It's actually a staple in Hawaii, which makes Kainoa's so authentic. They serve Spam in a couple of their entrees.
I do know, when I was in Hawaii, there's Spam there. You can get Spam just about anywhere, and it's definitely a staple. So when a lot of people think about Hawaiian food, especially those who are familiar with it, Spam is something that they ask for.
This is the owner, Jeremy Claridge, who brought the store to Rexburg from Thatcher, Arizona, the first and only other location, and also in a small college town. Even if Spam isn't your thing, Kainoa's brings a new variety of food to the eastern Idaho area. It's Hawaiian-themed and made fresh in their kitchen with unique tastes and flavors. You can check out their menu and weekly specials on their Facebook page. Just search Kainoa's Hawaiian Grill, Rexburg, Idaho. Down at the Teton River Village, in front of Fat Cats, the two newest restaurants are the Mongolian Grill and Flat Rock. Flat Rock is a new wing of the barbecue grill, the Hickory, featuring hand-tossed oven-baked pizzas. It's a Subway-styled build-your-own pizza, where you can choose toppings you may not see in other pizza joints.
Because we have Hickory smoked meats that you can put on your pizzas, which makes it quite unique.
This is the Hickory owner, James Johnston, who gave me a tour of Flat Rock.
We have brisket, turkey, chicken, and pork from the Hickory that you can build like a barbecue pizza or we have all the traditional toppings as well.
The home-style restaurant also serves a variety of desserts, soups, sodas, ice cream, and your favorite huckleberry treats. One thing that sets Flat Rock apart from other pizza places is that you can get a good-tasting, gluten-free pizza with the toppings of your choice. Johnson plans to bring in some more food items to the menu in the near future. The Mongolian Grill, right next door to the Hickory, serves a variety of Asian cuisines. What makes this place unique is the service experience. It's buffet style, where you choose the raw veggies, meat, and sauce, then they cook it all for you on a large hot top flat grill. Rexburg is continuing to grow and make changes. Go check out the fun food experiences Rexburg has to offer. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Jessica Morgenthaler.
Well, have you ever tried any Hawaiian food, Brandon?
I've had some Hawaiian food, but I haven't been to Kainoa's yet, so I can't wait to kind of get there and try it out. I did try the Mongolian Grill and really enjoyed that. It wasn't something I'd had before, and it's fun to kind of watch them cook the food that you chose from the buffet style, so that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm really excited to try the Mongolian Grill, too. I like what you said, just watching them make it. I think it's a really great part of the experience.
Thanks for listening to Tell Me About It. You can watch or you can catch episodes every Friday at 4 on KBYI 94.3 FM.
Our theme music comes from BYU Idaho student composers Alex Watson and Anders Nilsson. Find the show and other podcasts on social media or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like, follow, and subscribe to BYU Idaho Radio.
This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio 94.3 FM.